Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Biggest tailgate party in the state is right here.
No, we be tailgating.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hour two of the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, 1 hour away from bringing you countdown to kickoff with Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas. Willie P, Will Pelagic here with you alongside Hugh Douglas as we get you ready for the Falcons and Seahawks. One thing we do want to acknowledge really quickly. We do want to send our best wishes to the voice of the Falcons, Wes Durham. If you haven't been following his social media, he announced on Twitter yesterday that he had an inconclusive COVID-19 test come back. He has since retested negative in the last couple of days, but because of the timing of the test, out of the abundance of caution and safety, not only of the players, but also our entire Falcons Radio Network staff, he has decided to sit out this game today as a result of that inconclusive test. Mike Conti's capable hands will have the broadcast alongside Dave Archer today, but we do want to send our best wishes out to Wes and make sure that he is doing well, and we hope that we get him back next week for the Falcons Week 2 matchup against the Dallas Cowboys. And again, they'll take you from 1 o'clock all the way through this afternoon and evening. And then, of course, we'll have the Falcons flyover with Thomas Mott after the game with your phone calls, texts, and reactions to what hopefully is a Falcons win today against the Seattle Seahawks. Around the league, Hugh, I think the binoculars, like you said last segment, go right away to the matchup that takes place in our division. Our first opportunity to see the new look Tampa Bay Buccaneers against the New Orleans Saints. I don't know how you feel. I feel like a lot of the Tampa Bay hype is overstated. Do you feel like that hype is overstated?
I think that it's excitement for the fans. To answer your question, Will, a little bit. But you're talking about one of the best, well, the best quarterback to ever play the game and one of the best tight ends to ever lace them up. You know, Gronk, you know, when you look at the stats and everything, you could say that Gronk was on a decline, but, you know, he came back to play with Tom Brady. You know, they got LeSean McCoy down there, Leonard Fournette, and already the guys that they already had down there at the receiver position. So I think that's why people are excited. You know, they're thinking that Tom Brady's going to pick up where he left off at. And I think I saw a stat where, you know, even though it was a down year for Tom Brady, it wasn't a bad year. It would be a phenomenal year for any other quarterback that wasn't named Tom Brady. So I think that they're going to be a formidable team. No question about that. I think that anytime that something like that happens, you think back to the Cleveland Browns. Remember the year that they got Odell Beckham Jr. and they had all those weapons they had there, and people were talking about Super Bowl or bust. I don't think they're in that situation. I definitely don't think they're in that situation, but they're going to be a pretty good team.
Again, I wonder, you know, how much of what Tom Brady said last year about pieces around him, I wonder how much of it's that or how much of it's, you know, a diminished skill set. And I think the same thing can be said about what's happening with the New Orleans Saints. Look, we know one thing when it comes to quarterbacks. When it falls off a cliff. And I'm not saying it's going to happen year over year with Drew Brees, but I do feel like there's going to be a situation. We look at the Saints this upcoming season and you see, okay, maybe we start to see the decline. We start to see the deterioration of the skill set of Drew Brees. I don't know if that's wishful thinking on my part, but it has to happen sometime or another, no?
Man, Willie P, you know what I think about? I think back when it was like, what, 4 or 5 years ago when I first got here. And everybody was talking about Drew Brees' arm strength and how he had fallen off. Drew Brees, since that story broke, Drew Brees has had his team in the playoffs every year. You know what I mean? So it's
and
like,
again, it might just be wishful thinking on my part. I'm just saying. You know, sometime, no?
I mean, it does, but it's just like some of those cats, and he down there in New Orleans, you know, they got that voodoo thing going on there. Maybe he'd have made a pact with somebody. But all I'm saying is he was about to fall off. And when he had his shoulder surgery, remember, oh, Drew Brees is done. Drew Brees has gone on to solidify his Hall of Fame bust. That's what he's done. Like, for real, for real.
Absolutely. He certainly has. I hate saying nice things about New Orleans like your partner in the morning. So
But it is what it is, man.
They got to give them their due.
You got to get an NOS due, man. They got some beautiful women, and the gumbo ain't that bad. Matter of fact, it's phenomenal. So I'm just saying.
I won't trash the city like John Fricke will, but I certainly have no love for their sports teams. I do want to at least spend a quick moment on the other team in our division, the Carolina Panthers. They are, at least in many people's eyes, a distant fourth in this division. But under Matt Rhule, Joe Brady, Teddy Bridgewater, a lot of new infusion for what they bring to the table. They have the Raiders in week one. Vegas comes in a 2.5-point favorite. They got to make the trip east to Bank of America Stadium in Charlotte. How long do you think it's going to take for them to implement what they actually want to do? Do you think it's a tank year for Trevor Lawrence, or do you think that they can have some future with Teddy Bridgewater?
I think that, you know, with the kind of money they gave him, they're going to look for the future. It all depends on how Teddy Bridgewater handles it. You know, I mean, I think that you talk about a resurrection kind of a scenario that he was in, you know, going playing in New Orleans and having that span of, what, four games where he was phenomenal. I think that that probably put a little pressure on certain things, and that was probably one of the reasons why he had to go, you know, because you would think that if you have, especially when you talk about Drew Brees and the fact that, you know, he ain't what he used to be, you know, as a matter of fact, his best years are behind him. You would think that you would want to keep a quarterback like Teddy Bridgewater on the roster, but that wasn't the case. But Teddy Bridgewater put himself in a position where, you know, He got paid. He resurrected his career. You know, a lot of people thought when he was in Minnesota that he would never play again. He proved them all wrong. So, you know, it's one of those things where I think that he can get it done. You know, and it doesn't hurt having a running back like Christian McCaffrey back there, all-purpose kind of guy, to kind of like ease that pain of learning that offense. So, yeah, I think he's going to be fine.
Another game today on the NFL slate as we go around the NFL on the Wait For It Tailgate Show. Willie P. Hugh Douglas. We'll get back into some Falcons keys to victory in their game coming up at 1 o'clock against the Seahawks. Packers-Vikings. You know, Packers, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers, them drafting a quarterback in the offseason with Jordan Love. I know that had Aaron Rodgers feeling some kind of way. They get a real big test right away. Kirk Cousins, the Minnesota Vikings team we saw in week one a year ago, a divisional matchup in the NFC North. How much do you think Aaron Rodgers is teaming right now?
Well, he wants to show people that he can still play, I would imagine. You know, and shout out to who Dalvin Cook just got paid. You know, running backs getting paid this weekend, so shout out to him. I think that he wants to show people that he can still play. You know, I mean, it's something to be said about a quarterback who has put it down like he has, and being in a situation where Brett Favre, you know, he was the heir apparent to Brett Favre, and how Brett Favre handled him, you know, when he was a young man. And now for him to be basically in the same situation that he was in with Brett Favre, you know, when Brett Favre was a starter, and now
irony. He's
the guy. Irony. That's the word that I'm looking for. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how he handles that and how he handles the young guy, because we all know how Brett Favre handled it. Brett Favre was kind of, you know, a little bit of a Richard behind it. So we'll see if Aaron Rodgers does the same thing.
A little bit.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a Richard.
Bit.
I remember that. He was a little bit of a Richard.
A little bit. You mentioned the Browns earlier. We'll see whether or not they have made the turn that they need to here with Baker Mayfield, OBJ, and the rest of that cast of characters against a Ravens team that, look, best team in the regular season, doesn't get you anything. Last couple of seasons in the playoffs, they've failed to really impress upon us. They failed to win. What do you see for Lamar Jackson and the Ravens? Is this the year that people have figured out the read option look, or do you think that they're going to have a similar level of success?
I think that they are. I think the biggest thing for Lamar Jackson is that as threatening as he is to run the ball, you know, you still have to win from the pocket. Not saying that he has to change his game up, but we've seen in the past, even with Patrick Mahomes, you chuck the ball down the field, it's still bona fide. So you have to have that going for you. I think that Lamar Jackson has made tremendous strides as far as playing the quarterback's position is concerned, especially in a year's time, you know, because the biggest knock on him was, you know, the fact that he wasn't, you know, the traditional quarterback, or he couldn't throw the ball down the field. Did a tremendous job of doing that last year. Now this year, got to win a playoff game.
Bottom exactly. Exactly. Defending Defending NFC champions take on the Arizona Cardinals, 49ers and Arizona in Santa Clara, where they are saying there could be some air quality issues there in
Yeah, they were
the
thinking
Bay
about
area.
Moving the game, right? They were talking about moving the game.
Possibly to Arizona because of the air quality. There could be some of those similar concerns with the game tonight between the Rams and the Cowboys, although that particular stadium is enclosed. I know that one thing that we know about here is that hangover, if you lose Super Bowl game the year after that, doesn't always necessarily go the way you want. What are you expecting out of the Niners this season and also in Kyler Murray in his second season?
You know what? I think that the 49ers are going to be fine. Defensively, I think they're going to be fine. You know, I know Jimmy Garoppolo, I know a co-host of mine that doesn't think he's that good of a quarterback. I think that, you know, they benefited tremendously last year from the running game. They did. I mean, like, listen, man, the bottom line is this. You're able to run the ball, you got a shot. You got a shot. So I think that, you know, they're Kyle Shanahan, Coach Shanahan is going to get back to their bread and butter. I think that they'll still be in the mix when it's all said and done. I think that that's going to be a team that's still going to be hanging around. They're going to be a playoff contender, you know. So I think that they're going to be fine. Defense travels well, and they got some defenders out there, boy. They got some defenders.
They certainly do. And we mentioned, of course, the Super Bowl hangover team that was last year's basically Super Bowl hangover team. The team that lost Super Bowl was the Los Angeles Rams. They open up their brand new stadium, as I said, against the Dallas Cowboys. Speaking of quarterbacks trying to prove it, Dak Prescott working off that franchise tag deal of $31 million, did not get the payday that he wanted. This Cowboy team, you know, they keep bringing back this this kind of same regime here. Of course, now they do so with, of course, that the new head coach. Where exactly do you think is the avenue for success for this team in an NFC East that I think is very, very hard to predict for a lot of people because you have the Eagles involved?
You know what? Just real quick, I want to say, you know, just a shout out, give a shout out to Dak Prescott for being transparent this week. You know, that's a tough thing to do, man. You know, just wear your heart on your sleeve and be open and honest with people. And I commend him for that, man, because, you know, it was funny because me and Abe had a chance to talk about it. And, you know, a lot of people deal with a lot of different things that they don't share, you know. Mm-hmm. And for him to be as open and honest as he was, I commend him for that. I really, really do. Mm-hmm. As far as the Dallas Cowboys are concerned, they're a scary team, man. You know, you can say what you want about that quarterback. And it was funny when we were talking about picking teams, I could never pick the Dallas Cowboys.
Of course.
To win the conference. I can't. I mean, the NFC East can't do it. But they have the team that's built for it. When you talk about dealing with a pandemic and being in a position where, you know, things haven't changed for you and things of that nature, they're one of the teams, except for the head coach, Mike McCarthy. You know what he brings to the table. Won mm-hmm. a Super Bowl. Coach Aaron Rodgers, I think that he's going to get the best out of that squad. Defensively, I like what they got on that side of the ball. You know, they reinstated Randy Gregory. Don't know what he's going to bring to the table.
Right.
But they got a pretty good squad, man. So, you know, you got to give a shout-out to the Dallas Cowboys. They're gonna give teams fits. I think it's going to be a two-team race between them and the Eagles. But, you got to give props to the Cowboys.
I don't mean to chide you on the two teams that you picked on your morning show to talk about the Super Bowl, but one of those teams is actually
– Y'all ain't going to let that go.
They're an underdog this week in Detroit. I just wanted to throw that out there.
That blows my mind. That really blows my mind. But you know what? I'll die on that hill. Not a problem. I see Abe wants to bring that up. You know, last night when we were texting back and forth, when I want to give Georgia Tech a shout out for that big win that they had last night. But yeah, it's cool. Hey, listen, I ride with the Chicago Bears. And I know people are probably listening to me like they just probably tuned off right now because I said that. But still, I said it. I'm a man of my word. I'm going to stick to my guns.
There's a very popular liqueur in Chicago that tastes like absolute gasoline called Malort. Uh-huh. I'm wondering if you had a couple of shots of Malort when you made that pick.
You know what's funny? No, honestly, when I made it, you know how you just like the first thing that pops in your head. It was kind of like that. I had one of those moments. And when it happened, they just killed me for it. So I was like, you know what? Roll with it. Just go for it.
Also, Cam Newton in your other Super Bowl team makes his debut today for New England against the Dolphins. I'm expecting big things from Cam and that team. And not that anything will ever cause me to root for the Patriots and Bill Belichick, but I'm rooting for Cam.
Yeah, I am too. And especially when Boomer Esiason was basically saying that Cam can't run the same offense. Guess what, Boom? It's not going to be the same offense that Tom Brady ran. Can't be.
Bill Belichick's going to cater that offense to Cam because Bill Belichick is a sorcerer.
Yes. Come on now.
We'll bring you our keys to the game, let you hear from Dan Quinn, let you hear from Pete Carroll, Matt Ryan, Julio Jones as well. As we count down to kickoff, Falcons and Seahawks on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P, Hugh Douglas, here with you on your home of the Falcons. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
Running fast, playing great at all times.
The pre party for our Falcons.
It's the Wade Ford Tailgate Show.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Willie P, Hugh Douglas, getting you ready for the Falcons and the Seahawks on your home of the Falcons. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up 20 minutes from now, our usual weekly chat with Steve Ewing, President
Steve.
And CEO of Wade Ford.
Can't wait to talk to Steve, man, because, you know, them Broncos, like, listen, I don't know if you've seen the new Broncos.
Oh, I know. We talked about it when you and I were on together a couple months ago.
Man, listen, I understand, you know, we have a big Jeep community here in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
But those Broncos, man, listen. Those new Broncos, when you get them souped up. I wonder if Steve's going to do a couple of them souped up, though. That's neither here nor there. We're supposed to talk football. I'm sorry. I just got excited about the Broncos.
No, you can talk about Wade Ford all you want.
I'm just saying. I'm just excited. I wonder if Steve's going to do a couple of them, you know, like, is he going to trick a couple of them out and sell them like that? You know,
maybe do a couple in Falcons red and black, possibly?
Maybe. And shout out to the Atlanta Falcons, too, man. Got the jersey. I was a little bit surprised.
You're going to wear that today?
You know what? I don't know. I mean, this is the first piece of Falcons gear that I honestly say that I have that I would actually consider wearing, you know, because, you know, I'm an Eagle. No, I bleed Eagles green. But, mm-hmm. boy, I tell you, as a player, to have a jersey with your last name on it and your number of a team that you envied coming out of college, that's pretty cool. That was pretty cool, and I was a little choked up behind that, man. So, you know, shout out to the Atlanta Falcons for that. That was pretty cool.
I'm wearing my Deion Sanders Falcons jersey because they couldn't put Pelagic on a nameplate. Is that right?
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot of letters.
That's a lot of letters. That's 10 letters. It's a 36 in Scrabble, by the way, in case you were wondering.
You silly.
Falcons keys to the game as they get ready for the Seahawks today. We talked about the run game at length, Hugh. I feel like, and again, this word gets overused, but I think balance is paramount. And not balance from the standpoint of you run it as much as you pass it, but you want to have Seattle guessing. You don't want Seattle to know that on first down you're running the football or on second down and long you're passing the ball. Like you need to be able to be variable and unpredictable. And I felt like too many times last year, a lot of it, not part of their control because they fell behind a lot early, but I feel like too many times last year the Falcons either play predictable or were forced to play predictably.
Yeah, I think that, and part of that is because they couldn't run the football. I mean, bottom line, they could not run the football. So I think that when you're able to do that, that's going to open everything up for you. Listen, the one thing that I can remember about playing back in my day was the most demoralizing thing that you could do was be able to run the ball and there was nothing you could stop to do or you could do anything about it. I think the Falcons need to get to that. Now, you're right about as far as being unpredictable. But when you see that big back there, Ty Gurley, and you know they're about to go student body right or student body left, and there's nothing that you could do about it and you own that line of scrimmage, that changes the game. And then they throw it when they want to throw it. That changes the game. And I think that if you have Ty Gurley back there and he's doing that, that makes it tough. That makes it tough on everybody. It puts a lot of stress on that secondary.
And the other thing too that I think about just from the Seahawks standpoint, like I feel like we match up well. Like you mentioned the fact that the defensive line doesn't really have any real household names other than maybe Puna Ford. Like there's not anybody that you have to account for on the defensive line. And conversely, on the offensive side of the football, yes, they have Russell Wilson, but I don't see a real game breaker that's over there that you can really look for and say, okay, these guys that you're seeing are anything better than what, you know, A.J. Terrell, Isaiah Oliver, Darquest Nard, anything better than those guys face in practice when they see Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley on the other side.
Yeah, I would say what you think. D.K. Metcalf.
Yes.
Tyler Lockett. Yes. You know, guys like that. Chris Carson, the young running back, you know. Yeah.
It's not exactly the same type of cast. So
no, definitely not.
looking forward to seeing how our defense can possibly match up with their offense. One thing that we talked about earlier is the fact that this particular unit coming into the season for the Falcons, because of all the COVID-19 protocol, having veteran leadership, according to head coach Dan Quinn, has them in a good position to be fortified going into the season.
For us, having a man like Matt and Julio to that effect, too, to come in and reps and teaching and being on the same page, I would say Julio and Matt and Alex Mack up with the front and making calls, that kind of leadership, that kind of experience, it's huge.
According to our man D. Orlando Ledbetter, he says he's told to watch to see if Falcons defensive tackle Marlon Davidson is warming up with the inactives. We'll see whether or not he's kind of trying to make it go. We'll get an update on that, of course, during the Countdown to Kickoff show. He is the only player that really is in question right now for the Falcons on their injury report. No Charles Harris today, and also no Kendall Sheffield. Davidson's been dealing with a little bit of an issue, not only involving just the kind of conditioning, getting himself ready for the season, but also dealing with a knee ailment. We talked earlier, too, about Thursday night's game, and that's really our only thing to go off of, Hugh, based on what we're going to see going into the season between the Chiefs and the Texans. It didn't look raggedy. It didn't look as raggedy as I thought it would, and the one thing that I think really came about from watching that game is that the offenses are going to be ahead of the defenses, either because of the physicality or because of the fact that if you have an offense that is a well-oiled machine, you're going to be able to get yours. How much of an advantage does that give the Falcons today against the Seahawks?
I think it does. And I think also, when you look at it, the thing that jumped out to me, Willie P, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, that was the guy. You know, you're talking about over 100 yards on the ground that opened up that offense for him and kept that defense on the heels of the Houston Texans. They were out there. They had a couple of 10 to 12 play drives that killed. That's right, I said it, killed. Killed that Houston Texans defense. And I think that's going to be key. You know, if you're going to be able to go out there and do that, control the ball, control the line of scrimmage and things like that, that makes everything else that much easier. Now, there were some drop balls out there, no question about that. I mean, it's the NFL. Everybody drops balls every now and then. But, yeah, that was the thing that jumped out to me, was the fact that the running game was on point for the Kansas City Chiefs.
2011 was the year that was the NFL lockout year. Matt Ryan is hoping that the offenses can get off to a similar start like they did that year.
I hope it goes like that. You never know. You never know how years are going to shake out, how games are going to shake out. I know we're playing a really good defense and a team that prides themselves on being physical and disciplined. And it's going to take us to execute at a high level to be successful. But I feel like we're in a good spot offensively. I really do. I feel like we're in a good place heading into week one. And you know, we've got the tools, you know, if we can put it together to be a tough opponent week in and week out.
One of the things we were talking about in the break with producer Abe Gordon is, you know, we talk a lot about where the Falcons have improved, pass rush, running game, at least we think going into the season. Is there any area that you didn't think they addressed to the level that you thought they should have?
Not really. I think, you know, the pass rush was one that we all talked about. Everybody talked about the pass rush. I think they addressed that. The secondary has been addressed. You know, offensive line, they have been addressed. I think, though, the running game helps the offensive line out tremendously. That's my personal opinion about that. So I think that they'll be fine with that. Running back, we're going to see what we get from Todd Gurley. Tight end, you know, they feel like they upgraded with Hayden Hurst. So we'll have to see how that works out. So, you know, I think that they've done enough to field a team that's going to be formidable, if that's what you're asking me. They just got to go out there and win games, man. They got to put it together. They can't have a slow start. They cannot have a slow start like they've had in the past.
And I won't say it's a downgrade, but I'll say I'm curious about Foye Oluokun. I'm curious about what he brings to the table that wasn't here, at least in a starting slot a year ago, and also not having Devondre Campbell as part of that linebacking core. I know you kind of look at Keon O'Neill as being almost a linebacker, and if you add him into that particular realm, I think that makes that unit improve. But if he does play back more in coverage, and it is a real true 4-2-5 alignment, then having those two guys between Debo and Foye on the field together, basically having those only two guys covering the middle, I wonder how that's going to work. But one thing is for certain, defensive coordinator Raheem Morris is excited about what this defense can bring to the table.
You know, you're talking about our upfront guys. You're excited to see Grady. You're excited to see the guys he's going to play with, the new people we added to the team. We talk about our linebackers. You got to talk about Debo. As far as our captains, two of our captains on our team, and some of the energy they're going to bring, and some of the new renewed type of play they come with. And then you talk about other captain, Enrico, and what he's going to bring with that secondary and the knowledge standpoint that he brings to the game every single day to get those guys to play fast and play hard.
Hugh, we talked a lot about the effect that Grady Jarrett would have on Dante Fowler. I think it can have just as much an effect going the opposite way. I think Dante Fowler actually having a threat off the edge is going to affect Grady Jarrett, especially if he gets in one-on-one matchups and passing down.
Yeah, you know, you talk about it works hand-in-hand, man. You got that defensive end coming around the corner, making that quarterback step up. And, you know, if the quarterback can't step up, guess who's going to be there? Or if he does step up, guess who's going to be there waiting for him? Grady Jarrett. So, yeah, it does. It definitely works hand in hand. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure Grady's excited about that. You're talking about a man who's working in the middle, the shortest distance to the quarterback, who's probably going to, you know, get better numbers because he has that pressure off the corner. You know, has that guy off the corner that's making the quarterback step up in the pocket. You know, because that's the thing that I never understood about some young men that were pass rushers. You know, like the quarterback drops back seven, but he steps up too when he goes in the seven-step drop. So why not cater your pass rush to be right there at five? You know, when
why are you running upfield, man?
Yeah, why you like that? Like I remember watching film, and guys are like, "Oh, I'm beating him off the corner." You ain't beating him off the corner. That's what he wants you to do. You're
exactly.
Not beating that guy. He's not. That's what he wants you to do because he's stepping up five. You're not even in the pocket. You know, if you see that they, I'm getting off the ball. You ain't getting off the ball. You ain't doing nothing though. You got to collapse the pocket.
You mentioned Jarvis Davis. The one thing that he said to me that sticks with me throughout the entire camp is that the first time he saw Dante Fowler hit him with that spin move, as you like to say, it's over. Kiss the baby. Like it was.
Kiss the baby. Yeah, because
it was,
man,
a wrap.
Listen, because like, listen, the thing that you have to do as a defensive lineman is give that offensive lineman that false sense of security. Make him feel like, oh, yeah, I got him. You know, and then you hit him with something that he hasn't seen. Oh, now you've opened up a can of worms now. Now he's confused. He don't know what you're about to do. Like, you got to go into the game. When my coach said, you got to have a couple beasts in your repertoire. You got to have a repertoire. And if you don't have a repertoire trying to rush the passer, it's going to be a long day.
And I also wonder, too, the impact that Fowler is going to have on a guy like Tack McKinley. Like, you mentioned the fact that he wasn't tendered, and I think a lot of that has things to do with things that were out of his control, like what Vic Beasley didn't do after he was tendered and after he got his new deal. I also feel like, though, his particular gameplay failed to really impress the Falcons front office. There's a lot going in on him. Apparently, he came in and transformed his body. He's a lot leaner. I wonder how he can play at that weight. But I also wonder again, you know, he's got a guy right behind him. He won't play today in Charles Harris, but you think about Kaminsky who could possibly bump out. You think about Davidson if he comes back and bump out. You know, he's got the microscope on him to a degree.
Oh, no question about it. You know, you're talking about a guy who wanted to get tendered. He didn't get tendered. You know, the Falcons made clear that's what they weren't going to do. And you're right. He probably did, you know, probably a lot of that happened because of what Vic Beasley did. You know, and with that being said, Vic is not even dressing out. I don't think Vic is even dressing out for the game Monday night against Denver. So, yeah, it's a tough spot to be in. But Tack's in a position to control his destiny right now. So you just got to go out there and you got to do what you got to do. Get it done.
As we do every week on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, we'll talk to the president and CEO, Steve Ewing, about this upcoming game between the Falcons and Seahawks, and Hugh and I will also give our predictions when we hand things over to the Countdown to Kickoff crew of Chris Goforth and Harry Douglas. The Wade Ford Tailgate Show continues on a football Sunday. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, your home of the Falcons, and radio.com.
Go, go, go!
Time to check in with the big boss man himself.
The man who knows all things cars and Falcons.
The president and CEO of Wade Ford, Steve Ewing.
On the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
One of our favorite things we get to do all week is check in with one of the biggest Falcon fans, one of the biggest car guys in our city, Steve Ewing, the president
Steve.
CEO of Wade Ford. Happy New Year to you, Steve. Thank you so much for once again being a part of us.
Hey, Willie, thanks so much. Hugh, I'm so glad to hear you guys this morning.
We've been waiting so long for this, and I'm just hyped. My son called me. He's down at the University of Miami at school. He said, Dad, I'm just so excited. He said, I bought Sunday ticket. I said, well, whose credit card do you use? that's a different conversation. But I just want to, as we start this season off, I just want to, again, thank the producer, Abe Gordon, and thanks, Daryl Killian, for the staff, everybody at the 929 that makes this relationship so special and what it is. So I just want to start that way and say, listen, we're here for some football, guys. We can talk about the Bronco. I know we're going to have the Hugh. You guys stay tuned for the Hugh Douglas edition of a Ford Bronco. That's a different conversation, too. Hugh, I know, because Hugh can come up with some very creative things. But before we get to the trucks, let's just talk a little football, then we'll go from there.
Okay.
If you're not a Falcon fan, and I know we can't be down there tailgating, and this is an unprecedented time, but I want to let you know how proud I am, man. I'm proud of the Atlanta Falcons. I'm proud of them addressing the fact that, you know, everybody has not, you know, has been aware of all the social justice issues that are out there, and everybody has different opinions, and that's what makes this a great country. But the fact of the matter is that we have some people who are conscious, not just on the football field, but at the fact that when they're not a football player, that there are some things in our society that we can improve on. So I'm excited about the fact that some of the players, the coaches, are going to be representing and making some statements, just letting the world know that, hey, listen, you know what, we can become better, we can do better, and we can care and love all people. And that's what this should be about. So that's my little two cents on that. Mm-hmm. But we're here to talk about football, and football means where do we go now? Me, Todd Gurley, is going to be a critical part of what we do here. If he can run that football, Hugh, don't you believe that if he's running the football, then all of the extra weapons we have in the passing game are going to be able to do a better job?
You hit on it, and I go back to my playing days. And when you have running backs like Steven Daly, Steve Davis, and Sean Alexander, those big backs that Seattle used to have in the Washington Redskins, man, those guys, they were difference makers, because you knew, number one, that they were a headache. They were a headache, number one. And they opened up everything else because you had to stop that run. Now, I know that Todd Gurley is dealing with the arthritic knee and things of that nature, but he's still a big running back, and he's still a serviceable running back, and he catches the ball out of the backfield. Another guy that used to give us fits, wasn't the biggest back, but he caught it out the backfield, and he created those mismatch problems. Marshall Faulk. Todd Gurley can be a little bit of that. You're talking about a little bit of a Sean Alexander and Marshall Faulk mixed together that can catch the ball out of the backfield and be able to run it between the tackles, that puts a lot of pressure on your defense. And we're not even going to talk about Julio Jones and what Calvin Ridley can bring to the table. Those are two guys that, you know what, when you talk about that offense and what those guys can do, I mean, you know, it'll be a situation where you want it to be pick your poison. How do you want to die? Do you want to die by the run or you want to die by the pass? Make up your mind.
Well, and let me just say this to you. I watched a little highlight film and watched what Seattle did last year, and they ran that ball against our defense.
They did.
And I'm concerned that, you know, we're going to be tested, and they're going to run that ball again because it worked, and we're going to know very quickly if all the changes that I think we've made in defense are what they should be. I'm really excited about where we're going, and I'm also excited about all the new people on the team to help beef up that defense and add some speed to it. You know, I had a pleasure to spend some time with a young man out of California, Jalen Hawkins, who's,
yes,
you know, who's joined the team. And, you know, he's quite a quality young man. And I'm just praying for him he gets an opportunity there. But at the end of the day, this defense has to, if this defense does its job and they hit hard, we have a real great chance to have a great season this year.
Oh, no question about it. No question about that. You got it, Willie P.
And of course, Steve, you know, we talk a lot about how this team, it was a tale of two different seasons last year, and part of the reason why we went 6-2 in the second half is the play of that defense and the effect of Raheem Morris and Jeff Ulbrich taking that larger responsibility and having not only a new defensive coordinator, a new secondary coach, and you mentioned Jalen Hawkins, not only he, but also Isaiah Oliver. They both have mentioned the addition of Joe Witt. I feel like the secondary has become so fortified. You add in Hawkins, you reinsert Keanu Neal. How much do you think, Steve, that I feel like this is one of the deepest units, not only on this football team, but one of the deepest units when it comes to the secondary inside this division because of how strong the quarterback play is going to be in the NFC South?
And I think that you're 100% right. And I think that all these guys, I'm really excited because this was an area we were very disappointed in. I was very disappointed. And I don't put on pads on Sundays. I can't put myself in these guys' shoes. And I'm surely not going to criticize, you know, what somebody who's on that field and what they're dealing with. But I am going to say, as a fan, when I'm sitting back and watching somebody become toast that I have a lot of faith in, I get real angry. That's all I can say. And I won't call out names. So right. We have a new season, and we're where we're going. Okay, so let's switch over real quick because I know our time is limited. Let's talk about cars and trucks.
Yes.
Man.
That Bronco, Steve. Yeah, that Bronco.
That's all I heard, bro. Let me tell you something. Hugh has endorsed different kinds of things, and I respect that because the station has a lot of advertisers. But the fact of the matter is that our product line, our trucks, every Super Duty truck I have on my lot I could sell. If I get as many Ford can build, I'll get. The biggest issue right now with Bronco is going to be, can we meet the demand of the public? Because we have the smaller Bronco coming out at the end of this year in December. We're really excited about that. And the bigger Bronco coming out in the spring. And we have pre-orders. And when Ford announced the Bronco and they opened up the order bank, they were getting 1,000 orders an hour. Oof. And it was crazy. So, you know, what's happened is we had what we call hand raisers, and people put their hands up to say, hey, I want one, and they put a deposit down. And from that, now we work through a list of people who said, hey, I want the truck. So we're really excited about it. I think that we have a new CEO at Ford Motor Company in the name of Jim Farley, who's going to be taking over 1st of October. And Jim is truly, truly about our product, and we're really excited about the direction because we need the trucks. We need to have it now. We should have had it even last year. But now the COVID pushed everything back. And I'm just telling you, everything that I've seen, everything I've read, everything we have in our internal memos, this is going to be the truck that sets the bar. They looked and benchmarked. You mentioned that other truck that's made by Jeep. They benchmark all their stuff. And I'm telling you that all the things in our truck, we took that truck, tore their trucks apart, and we saw what people liked, what people didn't like, and we made the best truck that I think the best sport utility you're ever going to drive. The big tires on it, it's just going to be a very capable vehicle. So I would hope that anybody who's listening to this who hasn't gone online and looked at the new Ford Bronco, do that. But more importantly, Hugh,
yes.
I think that I'm going to get you involved because you like to customize stuff.
And yeah, I like it's nice. Can't wait to see it, Steve. Cannot wait to see it.
We're going to do some stuff.
Definitely.
All right.
Appreciate it, Steve. Can't wait to see those Broncos out there when we see them in person over there at Wade Ford. Again, our conversation every week with Steve Ewing happens right here on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show. Our final predictions and our scores. When we come back, Willie P. Hugh Douglas on the Wade Ford Tailgate Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.